you may have heard the phrase tapping into a niche market, but have you ever actually considered doing it? Laurie Marshall was looking forward to retirement after a career as a broadacre farmer when he purchased a couple dozen acres in the southwest covered in pomegranate trees. Not that he knew it at the time. Anthony Pansier called in to Laurie's place to ask him what he knew about pomegranates before he started.
Nothing. I didn't even know for sure exactly what the fruit trees were. I just liked the particular block.
To say Laurie Marshall came into the pomegranate game a bit green would, in his own words, be a bit of an understatement. But today, he tends about 800 healthy-looking trees on a beautifully elevated orchard within the famed Margaret River region in Western Australia's southwest. Laurie's pomegranate are now found on the plates of some of the region's best restaurants. But he says getting to that stage required a combination of research and, perhaps more importantly, identifying a niche market.
At that stage, pomegranates, you know, it was one of those wonderful superfoods. So being in an area where there's lots of restaurants, we started looking at restaurants and targeting them through email and sending out a promo saying pomegranates due soon.
And were they very receptive at first, or was there a bit more marketing involved than that?
Once they started coming on and ripening, I went and dropped in at most of the restaurants, I suppose, hawking my fruit. But it was interesting, and it was, you know, engaging and good fun. We also did some marketing at the Margaret River markets, which was and the Bass markets when we had excess fruit, and also making pomegranate syrup, which we also were selling to the restaurant and through a couple of other outlets.
At that point, did you know what could be done with a pomegranate insofar as how it could be used in a restaurant, or you were just like, here's a nice fruit and perhaps you want to buy it?
Jumped on the web, marvellous thing that it is, and it was full of information of different ways you can use them. And when we were at markets, people would say, what do we use them for? You know, I remember Mum used to give us a toothpick and we'd wander out the back and here, eat your pomegranate. But for instance, a piece of toast with peanut butter on and then pop some pomegranates on top, seeds on top, lovely. I mean, virtually anything, as wide as your imagination.
So we're looking at a decent-sized orchard. Was it hard to decide I'll stay at this side, or once you had identified the market, was there a temptation to go bigger?
No, I'm sort of had retired from broadacre farming. I regarded it as a niche market type thing and thought, well, I'll see what I can do with this size. And it works perfectly in this area with quite a number of restaurants and other outlets. Basically, we just decided to go with what we had and mark what the five or six varieties that we've got here and market them as we saw fit. And some are sweet varieties and some are deep red and slightly more tart and more suited to salads and to the restaurant trade.
Now, we're looking at a tree here. It's got a couple of little buds on it. I don't profess to know much about how a pomegranate grows. What stage of the season are we at, and are they hard to maintain?
They lose all their leaves, obviously, in June and July and August. They start thinking about budding out, and from there it's a pretty quick progression of coming into full leaf, and then, as you can see, imagine, the buds then start to form. These are going to turn into the flowers. And they have a lot of flowers, and not all of them turn into the fruit. This particular variety, which is Issica, they are a sweet variety. They do have a lot of fruit, and you'll have multiple bunches of 1, 2, 3 all clustered together, probably too many sometimes, and you have to prune a few back by plucking a few off, whereas other varieties are more evenly spaced, like the big reds and the galoshes down the bottom there.
And just looking at it, the buds are at different stages of, I guess, preparedness, really. When it comes time to harvest, do you harvest in one go, or how does that work?
No, well, that's a good point, because, yes, they do. They flower for over a couple of months, be flowering right up till Christmas time, basically. And then, and that's the good thing about the fruit, once it starts to ripen, we can go through weekly or twice weekly and just pick as we need, and then we can store it in cold store for up to 6 months. It stores really well. It's a bit like an apple.
And again, looking out, we're not covered by any netting or anything like that. Bird strike problem at all?
A little bit. If there's plenty of fruit, there's enough to share. And we get plenty. But towards the end of the season, when there's not too many fruit on the trees, then the birds sense when they're ripe, because they have a thick, pithy skin. They don't like to tackle them if they're not ripe, I should, well, to put it that way, but because they're not easy to get into, but they do get stuck into them in the end of the season, yeah.
How does the season look for you then?
We've had a good winter, and they've all had a little dose of fertiliser this year, so every second year I fertilise them. And they
just on that, is that kangaroo poo or is that sheep poo down there? What are we?
That's my friendly kangaroos are helping me along with the fertilizer business. The kangaroos like to pull a few of them off occasionally too. So later on in the season, not only bird strike, roo strike.
Not a bad set of problems, I guess, to deal with, is
no,
it?
No.
Pomegranate grower from the southwest, Laurie Marshall, ending that report from Anthony Pansier.